Welcome to Manager Tools. Feedback, when yes means no. Part two. This cast answers these questions. What do I do when my directs don't seem open to feedback? Do directs have to accept feedback? What do I do when directs have a bad attitude? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go. Is your team in these challenging times struggling with remote work and communication? Well, if so, you're not alone. The great news is that we've thought quite a bit about the problem. Our newest training, The Effective Remote Manager, covers how your team can increase results and retention remotely. In addition, our training can help you with increasing team communication and trust, and we can deliver it virtually. 3 hours of content on how to use the Manager Tools Trinity remotely. Just $7,500 for your entire group of up to 30 people. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com for scheduling options, or visit us at www.manager-tools.com to find out more. We hope to hear from you. Unfortunately, we can't guarantee this stuff will work every single time because there are, of course, human beings involved.
Yeah, that's a good one. I agree. Yeah.
So if you ask them if you can give them feedback and you don't believe them, they say yes and you don't believe them. What do you do?
Yeah. If your direct says or does anything that makes you think they're not open to feedback, don't give them the feedback. We ain't playing that game. Homie, don't play that. Okay. When you ask a direct if they're open to some feedback, look, guys, pay attention to their answer. There are plenty of executives I've had to talk to about this, that they get in this habit of sort of speechifying, which is something I worry about in my own self here internally with Manager Tools, because I'm busy proclaiming about management every week to a much larger audience than our 10 employees. And they get used to this, asking rhetorical questions, but then they get confused about which questions are rhetorical and which questions are not. And they ultimately learn a bad lesson, which is don't listen to anybody's answers. They're surprised sometimes when they ask a question that someone misunderstands for an actual question as opposed to a rhetorical question, and somebody answers, and then they just run right over them. Look, if you're following our guidance, when you say, can I give you some feedback? Can I share something with you? Can I make an observation? We intend for you to honor the answer. We've got a couple of different podcasts about this. If your direct says no, you're supposed to walk away. Okay. The purpose of feedback is to encourage your directs in the future. It's their behavior we're talking about. If they are not willing or able to hear the guidance, whether it's positive or negative, guys, is irrelevant. If they're not able or willing to hear it, it does you no good to give it other than to assert your managerial role power, which, by the way, the whole point of the feedback model is to use relationship power to encourage people rather than managerial power to force them. It's astounding to me. So if your direct is late to a meeting, if she's in the middle of a PowerPoint, if she just got a note from her partner that says the kids, I can't pick up the kids, and she has to go right now, or it's a dollar a minute at the daycare place where they drop their kids off, it's okay for your directs to say no. If it wasn't okay, we wouldn't ask. If you as a boss are required to give feedback, and you are, but that comes later in the event that, the fact that you might give feedback, or let's put it differently, performance communication without asking, because your direct has painted themselves into a corner where they won't say yes, but you're still obligated to give them feedback, and so you'll have to give them feedback the hard way. But if you ask and they say no, we walk away because you won't have any influence on their future behavior. That's the underlying principle at work here. And so therefore, we're not just asking a rhetorical question. When you ask a direct if they're open to some feedback, pay attention. It's not a given that they will say yes. If it were a given, again, we wouldn't be asking. You'll probably discover, as a general rule, there are gradations here. There are three sort of standard responses, or categories of responses, maybe. An eager yes, which, by the way, if you've ever been in the virtual effective manager conference or actually effective manager conference that I presented, and people have asked me as when I'm role playing as a subordinate, hey, can I give you some feedback? I always say, sure, boss, right? I'm eager for feedback. I love feedback. Okay. By the way, that said, folks, let's be clear. I just said that to hundreds of thousands of people. Please don't think that you're my boss and you should send me an email that says, can I give you some feedback? Because A, you're not my boss. And so therefore I'm probably going to say no. And B, you don't do that by email ever. That's one of the rules about feedback. It's got to be verbal. If you want to tell me something you like or don't like, just write me and say, it's mahorseman@manager-tool.com. I'm happy to hear from you. And don't be afraid to tell me good and bad. And if there's something you don't like, please let me know. I'm happy to hear it. But let's not call it feedback, because feedback from you to me would imply that you're trying to encourage effective behavior in the future, and I might require some obligation. There might be some obligation for me to do it. And that's simply untenable in this unusual relationship that we have connected by the podcast. Yeah, so there's an eager yes. Then there's the middle, what I call a hesitant yes. And then there's the snarky yes, no. And look, if you understand why you're asking, you pay attention to their answers, your one direct with a crappy attitude won't surprise you when they say no by saying yes. So if you're just rolling out the feedback model, remember, you're about to give them positive feedback. They may have forgotten that you briefed them on that. Oh, wait. If you brief them on that.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, Mike, when I started writing this cast, it was really all about breaking down the three groups, the eager yes, the hesitant yes, and the snarky yes, no. Okay. Or the crappy attitude or unprofessional yes, no. Yes, no, let's call it that. And I was going to talk about each of the three. And I kept coming back to this issue of preparation, to your point about 90%. You know, if you do the preparation, you don't need this guidance. Actually, you will, but it's only 1 out of 10,000. I think that's, what, 10 to the fourth?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I try to be accurate and precise. You know, it's important to me.
The hesitant yes to me is an interesting one. And I try not get into the motivation of directs, but
yeah,
in my experience, The reason why becomes pretty clear in most cases why that is. So I won't tell you what I think. What do you think? Why is that?
Yeah, so it's not really their motivation. It's just their life experience.
Yeah, their experience.
They've had crappy bosses before. I mean, we've said before for years, we've been saying for 15 years plus years on this show, we want to help you be a more effective manager. Fortunately, it's not that hard because the average manager sucks at his or her job. All you have to do to be good is not suck. That's it. Now, 50 years from now, that'll be different. More of our guidance will have taken root, taken hold. The people who do our guidance will get more promotions, and then they will insist that the managers and supervisors and directors and senior directors and junior VPs who work for them say, yeah, it's not negotiable. In fact, that's been a big part of our corporate client business, is people started out listening when they're individual contributors. So they were prepared when they became a manager. They rolled out one-on-ones and then feedback, coaching, and delegation, and so on. And they got promoted and promoted and promoted. And they hired us and said, come and train all of our managers because this is what made me successful. So, yeah, most bosses only, right? And you have to assume that that's what they've had before you. Most bosses only give what they call feedback or what might be considered feedback, not our model, after numerous incidences of a problem, right? The only time bosses want to talk about performance other than end of year performance reviews is when something has escalated into an issue. Bosses don't want to give positive feedback. Oh, they might ask me for a raise. We have an entire podcast dedicated to the answer of when people ask you for a raise, just say no. Okay. It's a little more complicated than that, but you should know that that's what effective managers have figured out over the years. You just say no. Hey, thanks for the input. No.
Yeah. Well, need to say, it's a crappy reason. If that's your reason for not giving positive feedback, it's a pretty
crappy reason. Really, exactly. Yes, we have an entire podcast to destroying your rationale for not giving positive feedback. Are there plenty of bosses that think that any mistake, however slight, is worthy of yelling or sarcasm? Okay. And here you come wanting to talk about my performance with me. Why wouldn't I rely on my historical experience relative to hearing about my performance? So, a little reticence, a little timidity is normal and nothing to worry about. Reticence is not resistance. Okay, that's right. It's regular. Okay, reticence is regular. Resistance is not. It's rare. The direct who says, yeah, sure, but is applying the double positive is, in fact, a negative rule. Don't give them feedback. And by the way, if your direct had any courage, and clearly they don't, they'd come right out and say no. They're not courageous. They just want to be snarky. They want you to play their game, and they're playing verbal jujitsu with you, or judo, or whichever one it is that you use the other person's energy against them. Mike, which one is that?
Both do. But most people think it was jiu-jitsu.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, good. Thank you. Don't feel bad now. Let's just have an aside for the well-being of our managers, folks, which Mike and I mean to say you. Don't feel bad if your thought, as they do this to you, is that they have a crappy attitude, because they do. They do. Now, I know some of you are like, Mark's talking about attitude. I didn't say I didn't think about attitude. This is my classic Quigley Down Under bit where he shoots Alan Rickman, the bad guy, Marston, with a Colt 45. Marston wants to do a duel with him, and Marston says, I can't do a duel with your rifle. He doesn't say this, but what happens is it's clear that I can't do a duel with your rifle, and I know I'm better with you with the pistol, because previously Marston showed him his pistols, and Quigley said it never had much use for him. So then Marston assumes that I never had much use for him means he's not any good with him. And during the gunfight, what do you call that when two guys, it's
duel?
Not a gun.
A duel?
A duel, sort of. It's a Western gunfight in the streets of the OK Corral kind of thing. And he shoots all three of them, kills them dead. Quigley does. And Marston says, he looks at him like, how did you do that? And Quigley says, I said I didn't have much use for him. Didn't say I didn't know how to use them. So, right. So when your direct responds this way and the mouth says yes, but everything else says no. Yeah. They've got a bad attitude. And how do we learn about people's attitude? We learn about people's attitude from their behaviors. And that's why we then talk about behaviors when we talk to them about their performance, because you wouldn't want to argue with somebody about their attitude. They'll just lie. Okay. You're normal for thinking that way about your direct. And we recommend, as I just said, you ought not to act on those emotions, but it's completely normal to feel them. This is why HR is wrong when they say you're not supposed to get angry at work. By that definition, nobody would ever be able to go to work. The problem is HR hasn't discriminated between feelings and behaviors, feelings and activities enough to realize it's okay to feel angry. It's not okay to express it. And that's a behavior. Now look, how do you know whether or not to believe them? I would argue trust yourself. I mentioned earlier about paying attention to their answer. Don't just throw your question out there and assume blind acceptance. That makes you blind to responses, which is not good. So pay attention. What's their body language? What do they actually do with their body? What's their tone of voice? What's their facial expression? These are all behaviors too. And they're responsible for all their behaviors. And almost every direct knows they're doing them. And they're doing on purpose to have plausible deniability when HR says, well, he seemed to have a difficult conversation with you. Yes, because he said yes. He actually said, yeah, sure, in a tone that meant no, and then his body language supported that. And the direct says, but I said yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then you find out how good an HR business partner you have. If, in your judgment, their total set of behavioral responses to your question doesn't make you think that they are going to receive feedback with some professionalism, which would be responding with more behavior that you want in the event it was positive feedback, or changing their behavior in the event it was negative feedback, don't give them the feedback you had planned to give them. Now, you're wondering, okay, what do I say? So here are some phrases you can say. It doesn't really seem to me that you're really that open. That's okay. We can wait. Or, no, let's wait. Looks and sounds like you're not ready. Or, You don't seem ready. Do you have concerns about talking about your performance? That's a different conversation now. You seem hesitant. What's up? Or, in some cases, let's not do this if you're not open to it. By the way, in some cases, there are questions. If it's a question, you need to be prepared for an answer.
Here's a problem I see with those statements and or questions is they all seem to elicit a response. And I just want to get out of there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I suppose what we're doing here is if you think of three buckets, let's say there's eager acceptance, there's hesitant yeses, and there are snarky yes-nos. Let's put the snarky yes-no at a 10, the hesitant acceptance at a 5, and the eager acceptance at a 1. Maybe you've misread it, and your snarky yes-no that you had pegged as a 10 is actually a 7. And there's actually a way to give him feedback and to have him behave differently or more of the same regarding your feedback. And so, yeah, I mean, you could absolutely have a conversation. Now, I don't think the last one, you know, let's not do this if you're not open to it. And I could say that one of two ways. Yeah, let's not do this if you're not open to it. And then go right into something else, which makes it harder for them to push back and say, no, I really want it. You know, too late. Or I could pause and I could make them say, I am open to it. In which case, and by the way, Mike, you're getting into next week's cast. Not that it's part two, but I decided to hive it off into its own cast entirely. I wouldn't have any problem saying, you know, you just said you weren't. And now you're saying you would. And, or you will. I don't believe you. I like you. I want you to be successful and everything, but I don't believe you. You're telling me X, but everything about you says Y. And let me be clear with you about something. So I'm speechifying here. I could absolutely see myself saying this if I thought, in my estimation of this particular person, remember he's worked for me, let's say a year, and I've been doing one-on-ones with him for at least 12 weeks. And then he gives me the snark. I can't imagine the snark is new, but at that point, if I've heard the snark before, I'm basically saying, no. I might even say that. I might even say, no, you tell me you want more, but I don't believe you. I've been working really hard to build trust with you, and I've walked you through the feedback model, and now you're suggesting by your body language and facial expressions and the tone of your voice, that you're not respectful of efforts that I'm making to try to improve our performance. So now is not a good time. I don't want to do this. I don't want to give you feedback about your performance right now. And maybe we can revisit this. Why don't we both think about it and we can talk about it next week during your one-on-ones. In fact, to make it interesting, I promise you it will be the first topic on my portion of the one-on-one. You're welcome to address it during your portion. Share with me your thoughts on the previous week and this conversation, okay? Now, when I give examples like that, Mike, there are people who go, wow, he crushed him. I don't intend to crush him.
Right.
But I'm absolutely convinced of the rightness of my approach. And I'm absolutely convinced that this person is behaving unprofessionally. And I don't care if their previous boss was a jackass. After I have done one-on-ones with them, I have briefed them on the feedback model, I have walked them through that, and then now, whether they're 21 or 50, I don't care. I really don't, because otherwise I'm, what would be the word? I'm managing them based on their age, which I don't want to do.
Well, it's not even a matter of believing in the rightness of it. Is you have the necessity to do it as a function of your position, right?
Yeah, I think maybe in the course of my career, when I was 25 or 30, I would do something because I thought it was my job. And I have since learned it's much better motivation for me to do it because I believe it's the right thing to do. Yeah, it's true, it's my job. But I have more motivation when, you know, I think it's my thing to do. I'm not saying both of them can be motivational.
Yeah. Management's hard enough.
Having
the right motivations, and we all got to figure out what motivates us. But
yeah, And, you know, that's one of the things we learned at school about duty. My nephew, Krister, who's a West Pointer, wrote me an email today. I think I mentioned his graduation and things I think. And he wrote me and said one of the best things he ever learned in his life was no excuse, sir, mm-hmm. right? Which we learned as cadets. And we also learned about duty, you know, and honor and country. And, you know, it's my duty. And so I'm going to do it. I find I'm more effective when I truly believe I'm doing the right thing, which is part of why Manager Tools exists. So look, all of these are designed to elicit more response from the direct. If we do shut them down, it can be damaging to what was probably some fragile trust here in light of the snark we're getting. Look, and in most cases, the direct who gave a hesitant yes, if you give them any of these, will either share their concern or they'll push back and they'll essentially go from being a 5 to a 4 or a 3. In other words, closer to the person who is genuinely interested in getting feedback. You've shown them, you're aware of their concern, and you're willing to honor it for now. And maybe they've realized they really do want it, but they're also probably a little bit nervous. Of course, as we've said before, if we're just starting, they're going to be getting positive feedback and they don't know it. That's going to be,
yeah, that's always the,
they're going to be hoisted on their petard. Yeah. They're going to be totally hoisted on their petard. They're going to be, I'm afraid I'm in trouble. And then you give them positive feedback and then they realize how embarrassed they should be that they were the one that was hesitating.
Right. But Mark, what do I do if I want to skip that step and I just want to get straight to negative feedback? I mean, why would I want to give them feedback if it wasn't negative?
I think the answer to that question is don't tell anybody you learned anything from us.
There you go.
Because I don't want to be associated with all the stupidity you'll cause when you do that.
Yeah. So folks, that's my way of just saying that there is no answer to that particular question.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed how weird other people are? People like to tell me it's me, but I'm pretty sure it's not. The one thing that made the biggest difference to my understanding of other people was learning DISC. Learning that the people that talk slower than me and more carefully are not doing it to wind me up, but are doing it because they have really good reasons, made all the difference to the way I felt at work. If you want to have that kind of change in your understanding and your relationships, go to our website, managertools.com/products, and look for the Effective Communicator video course. You'll be able to start learning right away, and I guarantee it will change everything.
Now, look, there are too many conversational paths to follow in this scenario to cover all of them, but our basic guidance is this. If your hesitant yes direct, the one that was in the middle, seems to be willing to hear your feedback, trust your judgment on how they're behaving, go ahead and give the feedback. If your judgment is saying they're not ready, don't give the feedback. If they're normally a reasonable professional, talk to them about what they're feeling and try to help them come to your side of the argument. And I don't mean you're arguing, but argument is a term that is used to describe a debate between two polite, courteous professionals. Think of this for a hesitant direct as a pause. It's a pause recognizing, again, that this is a marathon and not a sprint, and you care about the trust you have built up with this direct, and you're not going to force feed them stuff they don't want to hear. If they're worried or fearful and you don't address it, the feedback is much less likely to be heard. Okay? If you're not listening, me talking is not getting anywhere. Communication is what the listener does. Look, guys, it's only when you've given them 100 bits of feedback that they start to realize it's not a weapon, it's a professional tool. And you have now successfully convinced them that there are managers who are professionals and know how to do their jobs well, rather than the previous yahoos who would yell at them or withhold negative feedback until there was an issue that needed to be discussed in private at the end of the day. Now, look, on the other hand, for the resistant, snarky, crappy attitude direct, if they say, oh, no, I really would want it, just say no. Again, a direct who has been briefed, who has been given access to free resources to help them learn, who's had a chance to ask questions in private, and who's been told they can say no to feedback. Remember that? That's why we ask. and then says yes, while engaging in other behaviors designed to contradict their words, is not behaving like a professional. Don't let them get away with acting like a child when you're doing adult-level work. And look, ignore all those people who will talk to you about, oh, you need to understand their rationality and their insecurities and so on. No, you don't. You're not a psychotherapist. We have an entire podcast. You're not a psychologist. Okay. It is not your job to understand the motivation of your directs. You are lucky if you get 1 in 10 right. And I know most of us think we got it 80% right. It's taken me until 60 years old to say, stop worrying about people's motivations. You're not going to predict their future behavior based on their motivations. You're going to predict their future behavior based on their past behavior. And that's important for the organization because the organization gets paid based on behavior, not attitude, not opinions, not emotions, not rationales, but behavior. Look, do you really believe that this snarky direct will consider your input about their future behavior? If you don't, then why would you utter it? So don't play their silly little game of them saying yes while clearly indicating they don't want it, but basically flipping the script on you and allowing you to give them feedback. I mean, essentially what they're saying is, I outrank you emotionally or in my mind. I'm more powerful than you, Mr. Manager, because I'm going to allow you to do this. I'm going to say, yeah, sure, while giving you every clue in the world I don't want it. Okay? You don't get to eat your cake and have it too. That's another one of those phrases I love. The quote is not, you don't get to have your cake and eat it too. It's always, you don't get to eat your cake and have it too, because everybody always forgets to mention the word then. You don't get to eat your cake and then have it too. Meaning, once you eat your cake, it's gone. Okay, that's what that thing means. It's like six of a dozen of half or half of the other. People get it wrong.
I get that one wrong all the time.
Yeah. So, look, they want you to give them the feedback now that they've established that it's beneath them. At least it's beneath their arrogant external persona. Direct, candid performance communications scare the daylights out of folks who posture this way. But we're playing a game of trust. They're playing a game of childhood. If you don't believe your feedback conversation will have a positive impact on their future behavior, don't give the feedback. I don't know how many times we have to say that, but I like saying it. You giving feedback is your job. Actually, that's not exactly true. You giving feedback is almost an inevitable outcome of the responsibilities you have to not only deliver results, but to improve performance. Okay. On the other hand, you giving feedback isn't an opportunity for them to express their displeasure with your methods. Go back to what I said earlier, Horstmann's middleman test. If you wouldn't do something to your boss, you oughtn't tolerate it from your directs. Would you behave this way to your boss if your boss came to you and walked you through the feedback model and said, hey, I want to give some feedback? And you went, yeah, sure. No, you wouldn't, because you're not a child. You're an adult. You're a professional. Okay. So what that tells you about that scenario, the middleman test, is you're in the middle between your boss and your directs. If your directs behave that way to you, it's wrong. When they try to bait you into giving it, no, I really do. No, I was just joking. Just kidding. You caught me at a bad moment. Liar. And you still don't believe them, still don't do it. Look, I'd be surprised if they're really snarky about it, if they can convince you. But if they do, go ahead and give the feedback if they really do convince you. Now, there's another guy who's not, well, he's actually being snarky, but he says, yeah, sure. And then when you say, well, it sounds like you don't want it. Yeah, it's fine. I don't like this model. And they're actually willing to tell you to your face exactly what they don't like. And then you have to decide, okay, how much political power do they have and whether or not you want to continue and so on. My recommendation is you would continue, but not in that conversation. I would say if somebody came back and says, yeah, I don't like any of this, say, well, then I won't give you any feedback. We'll figure out another way, like next week, for me to give you feedback. And then call their bluff and see whether or not they want to go to HR. And if you ask them for improvements in performance for months and months and months, and they don't do it, fire them. Look, the key here is your belief in their willingness to focus on their future behavior. Do you think they're just bowing to your role power? Do you think they don't like your role power, but they're just accepting it? And they're not really intending to think about what they're going to do in the future, good or bad. If you think that, don't give them feedback, because you would be having a misleading conversation. If you can't achieve the purpose of your conversation, don't have the conversation. Don't be afraid. If you doubt them, say so. Say no. You could say, it doesn't sound like you're ready. I'll wait. Now, these are the ones that are more what you were looking for, Mike, which is these are the middle ones, the first set, right? Those were about, you know, trying to elicit a response. These are not about eliciting
okay.
a response.
Okay, right? I want to hear these ones.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like to me like you're ready. I'll wait. You say yes, but no offense, you behave like no. I'll wait until there's a better time. Let's move on to something else. I got to tell you, I don't trust that yes. I'll pass. Talk to you later. And in that case, I'd probably walk away. No offense, dude, but your mouth says yes, and everything else about you says no. I'm not playing that game. We can talk some other time. So I think there were some people waiting for those. And I think if you truly believe in what you're doing and somebody's going to behave in an unprofessional way and we're going to cut off the debate, I don't have to continue to have a conversation with the direct when I'm doing the right thing for a good reason and they're attempting to undermine it. So I just end the conversation. If they're going to push back, if they're going to say, that's not what happened. It's like when I give feedback about something that happened the day before and a direct pushes back and says, that's not how it happened. And I walk away because I can't have a picture in my mind of them doing it right in the future at the same time as we're arguing about what happened in the past. The other way to think about this, it's way better to wait and prepare for the marathon than to start a sprint on somebody else's terms. It won't work. You won't win. And by the way, it only makes it more likely they'll poke their finger in your eye the next time you try something new or better.
And folks, the great part about all this, if that makes you feel uncomfortable, when it's time, you got to do it. But yeah. If you roll it out properly and you do one-on-ones and you build the relationship and then you use the same process of telling people what you're going to do ahead of time with feedback, you know, maybe you'll be lucky enough you don't end up in that situation.
Yeah. Let me summarize. Look, folks, brief your folks first on the changes you're going to make. Don't try to run a marathon as a sprinter. Wear down the resistors with professional communications. When that rare direct sends you mixed messages, you don't have to focus solely on their words. If you get the sense from their facial expressions or body language or their tone of their response, these are all behaviors, just like their words are. If you get the sense that they're not on board with whatever message you're trying to get across, don't be afraid to call them on it. And by that, I mean, don't give the feedback. If it's not time for negative feedback, just tell them you're disappointed. Okay? We'll talk in our next show about this, about whether it's time for negative feedback or not. If it is time for negative feedback, do your job and give them feedback on their behaviors. When you cross your arms and roll your eyes, despite the fact that you said, yeah, sure, I don't believe you, okay? Because look, we have to do our jobs. And whether our directs are emotionally ready for it or not, acceptance of feedback is a core tenet of professional life.
All right, man, I'm looking forward to our next one.
Thanks, Barter.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one.